Welcome to episode 400 of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I'm your host, Nessence Lauren Campbell. We have a jam-packed show number 400 for you because the offseason got a little bit busy Tuesday, so let's just jump right into it.
Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hey, welcome to episode 400 of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. So Tuesday marked another busy day in the MLB offseason. We had Noah Syndergaard, who signed with the Angels, or who agreed to a one-year deal with the Angels worth $21 million. Erod also made his five-year deal with the Tigers official. And also the Red Sox made a little bit of noise Tuesday when MLB Network's John Heyman reported that Javi Baez was of the interest of the Red Sox. Now, he certainly makes a ton of sense for Boston. He almost makes too much sense for Boston. He's incredibly versatile. He can play shortstop. He can play second. He can play third. So he's really going to provide the Red Sox, should he sign here, with a ton of versatility. This, you know, brings into question, would they play Javi Baez at short? Would they move Xander over to second? Then where does that happen with Christian Arroyo? You brought Kike Hernandez to the Red Sox to play second, but now he's really become kind of a staple in center field. So there is a lot of moving parts here, but I think he makes so much sense for the Red Sox. In 2021, he finished the season with a .265 average, 31 home runs. He scored 80 runs, had 87 RBI, and stole 18 bases. So that's, you know, obviously not too shabby. And he's a career .264 hitter with 149 home runs. So like I said, very versatile. You know, you could even move Xander to third, and you could put Rafael Devers as a DH. That's looking a little bit more forward, probably to 2023 after JD Martinez and his contract expires after the 2022 season. But what makes Baez even more, kind of attractive to the Red Sox is that him and Alex Cora have a pretty close relationship. They're both native to Puerto Rico. Baez played undercore for the national team in the World Baseball Classic in 2017 and in 2019 All-Star Game, where Cora was the manager of the American League. So there's definitely some chemistry there. There's a relationship there. I think that he would command a lot of money, rightfully so. Do the Red Sox want to shell out money to a middle infielder? It might be worth it. However, pitching still is a huge, huge need for the Red Sox. And speaking of pitching, as I said, Noah Syndergaard did agree to a one-year $21 million with the Angels, $21 million deal with the Angels. This was a bit of a surprise. I think that Otani and Syndergaard certainly pose a very interesting one-two punch. The Red Sox, I believe, were smart to stay away from this because they have not a problem case by any means, but they have a lot of unknowns surrounding Chris Sale. And him coming off as Tommy John, this 2022 season will be Sale's first full season from his Tommy John surgery. And Noah Syndergaard faced a lot of setbacks last season. He underwent the Tommy John surgery in 2020. He missed all of the 2020 season. He pitched just two innings in 2021. So between 2019 and 2021, Syndergaard only has pitched two innings of baseball. Could the Red Sox have afforded the one-year $21 million for Syndergaard? Absolutely. Of course they could have. Could he have benefited the Red Sox? Probably, but he is a bit of a risk, much like Justin Verlander is a risk. Syndergaard obviously is younger than Verlander. There is a lot of upside to signing somebody like Syndergaard because if he's on a one-year prove-it deal, he dominates in the 2022 season, he could come back and really demand a huge, big-money, long-term contract through 2023 and beyond. So obviously, Syndergaard turned down the Mets qualifying offer for $18.4 million, got just under $3 million more with the Angels. And he does make the Angels more dangerous. There's absolutely no questioning that. It's just a matter of how he will perform. You never know how somebody is going to do coming off Tommy John surgery. He did face the setbacks, like I said. However, he has proven over the course of his career that he can be a dominant pitcher. He can be a game changer. And I think the Angels really made out here. I think that it was a smart move for them too. It's funny, I saw a ton of tweets saying that, you know, they're going to get all the star power, but still miss the postseason. And it's just, it's so funny to think of the talent they have in Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and now Noah Syndergaard. And if they miss the postseason next year again, I know Mike Trout was injured a lot last year and missed a good chunk of the season, most of the season. You know, if you bring in Noah Syndergaard to try to bolster your pitching, which the Angels really needed, and you still miss the postseason, like what do you do then? Like what is the next step in trying to make the postseason? Because you have arguably the MLB's most polarizing and best player. You have the two-way phenom, and now you have one of a proven another pitcher to, added to your roster, and you still can't make the postseason. And that's neither here nor there right now. We obviously can't tell the future. The Angels probably are not done. And even though the Red Sox desperately need pitching help, I think it was smart to stay away from Syndergaard. If they did want to bring in a bigger name player, maybe somebody like Javi Baez would be a better fit. Somebody you can commit to longer term, and you're thinking longer term into the future. Now, Noah Syndergaard right now probably doesn't command a big term, long-term big money contract because of his situation with his Tommy John surgery, with only pitching those two innings. And maybe the Red Sox would be more confident giving a bigger money contract to somebody like Javi Baez, who can change a team very quickly. And again, you're thinking long-term, you're not thinking short-term, you're thinking longer-term. JD Martinez's contract expires at the end of 2022. You slot Rafael Devers into that DH role, move Xander Bogaerts over to third base. Javi Baez plays short, or maybe he plays second. You have Marcelo Meyer waiting. You have Christian Arroyo. You have Kike Hernandez, who can also play second. So there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of maybe what ifs, and a lot of, you know, Javi Baez could be good long term for the Red Sox. And even though he makes so much sense for this Boston team, I still think they really need to focus on pitching. Noah Syndergaard certainly was not the answer to this, to their problems. I certainly love Noah Syndergaard. I've always thought he was an electric player. He's fun on Twitter. He interacts with the fans as well. But right now, the Red Sox need to really focus on somebody who they know will be reliable. Like I said, you have Chris Sale, who's going into his first full season from Tommy John. You really don't want to take on another pitcher who potentially could pose problems, maybe face more setbacks. It's just too much of a risk. But for the Angels, it's a good risk for them to take. Coming up in our second segment of the Locked On Red Sox podcast, we will talk about how Alex Cora fared in the AL Manager of the Year voting. As you know, he was not named a finalist. He certainly was snubbed, but he did receive some votes. And we will also talk how no Red Sox rookies received votes for Rookie of the Year. But first, I have to tell you about Built Bar, because I love Thanksgiving. All the good food, all the good treats. There's so many of them. But maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar. It's the perfect time for Built Bars, because Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. Replace the coconut cream pie with a coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of that raspberry pie. There's so many good flavors. There's literally something for everyone. They're low calorie, they're low carb, they're low fat, and they're high in protein. And some of them are covered in 100% real chocolate. There's new surprises all month. There's limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so please check out the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday, so mark your calendars, because Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. This is episode 400, so it is a very special episode for me. It is a milestone episode. Obviously, I have not hosted all 400 episodes, but I'm here for this milestone. So I'm so excited that you made Locked On Red Sox episode 400 your first listen of today. So let's talk about Alex Cora and how he did with the Manager of the Year voting. As I've talked about on previous episodes, he was snubbed as a finalist. He was not named a finalist at all. And while I believe all three were certainly were viable candidates and they certainly deserved it, I, you know, no offense to Dusty Baker, but those Astros were supposed to be good. Even Kevin Cash, the Rays were supposed to be good. And both of those teams were. So when you have a Red Sox team that was projected to win 70 games, miss the playoffs, and come back and win 92 games, get to the ALCS, come within 2 wins of the World Series, and you don't see Alex Cora as manager of the year, something's definitely wrong there. But we're not going to go too far into it. So Kevin Cash ultimately was named the AL Manager of the Year. Gabe Kapler was named National League Manager of the Year. Both certainly deserved it. There's no hate toward either of those managers. So Alex Cora, at the end of the day, did receive 16 points and one first place vote. So there was somebody out there with a brain who gave him a first place vote. But the AL East, or the AL in general, is incredibly talented. It's got really tough teams that they have great managers, brilliant baseball minds on all of these teams. So Kevin Cash, you know, he's a great manager. He went back to back. This is his second AL Manager of the Year award. He won last year as well after leading the Rays to a very, very fun, even though it was a shortened season, still a very fun season. He brought the Rays to the World Series. I know that the postseason, those stats have nothing to do with the voting and the how they determine who is going to be Manager of the Year. Maybe Alex Cora now can use this and come back with a vengeance next year. Maybe the Red Sox will win 95 games. Maybe they'll win 108 games again. And he will be named a finalist for Manager of the Year. But much like in the first segment, I'm not going to get too far ahead of myself. I'm not a mind reader. Can't tell the future. And another surprising thing that came out on Tuesday or Monday night was that no Red Sox rookies received a vote for Rookie of the Year. So you had Garrett Whitlock, you had Tanner Houck, and you had Bobby Delbecq, who are all eligible for Rookie of the Year. And while Tanner Houck isn't too surprising, just because of the inconsistencies he had up and down from Boston to Worcester pretty much all season, Garrett Whitlock certainly was a surprise. I think he was making a case all season. I wrote articles about him making a case to be Rookie of the Year. He was also incredibly dominant for the Red Sox all season. He was such a strong reliever, and he was the Rule 5 draft pick, so they probably weren't expecting too much for him, and he became a staple in this bullpen. He had a 196 ERA. He had 81 strikeouts through 73 in the third innings. He was a bright spot during tough times for the Red Sox, and I'm honestly surprised that he did not even get one single vote. I would think that he maybe would be a finalist, or he at least garner some votes, because what he did out of the bullpen as a Rule 5 draft pick, no less, was something that the league really should have taken notice of. So I'm certainly disappointed in that. And Bobby Delbecq also did not receive any votes. He was a bit of a surprise too, especially because he really turned it around the second half of the season. He batted .241 with 25 home runs, 78 RBI, and he really became a threat in this lineup. He really was coming in clutch for this Red Sox team. So it certainly was a little bit of a surprise to see him not get any votes. I think Garrett Whitlock is the most surprising. Like I said, he was just so dominant out of that bullpen. He was a big surprise. A Red Sox rookie hasn't been named a finalist since 2017. Maybe it's an Andrew Benintendi curse now all of a sudden. I don't know. But we're not going to live in the past. These two or three, both all Tanner Houck, Dahlbeck, and Garrett Whitlock, all are going to be contributors for the Red Sox next season. I think that they're going to be really good next season. I have a lot of confidence in Tanner Houck. And if Garrett Whitlock can mirror what he did, he's going to be a problem out of that bullpen. Coming up in our third and final segment of Locked On Red Sox, I will provide you with a positive note to end this show, just like we always do. But first, I do need to tell you about betonline.ag. That's right, we're back. We're better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season, which means more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use promo code LOCKEDON to receive your welcome bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Thank you so much for tuning in for 400 episodes of Locked On Red Sox. I wouldn't be here without you. Thanks so much for welcoming me since July. You are awesome, and I absolutely love being able to talk Red Sox and baseball with you every day. And as much as that is a positive takeaway, that is not my positive takeaway to end the show. But today, Wednesday, November 17th, it is Red Sox Day at Baseball America, which that means there will be a new top 10 rankings. There's going to be a best tools list and prospects chat that will be revealed. So that's really exciting. We get to see kind of where Baseball America is going to put some prospects like Marcelo Meyer. So we'll be able to see maybe what's to expect and kind of what's to come for the Red Sox in the future. This is all according to Red Sox Stats on Twitter. Really great follow, really gives a ton of great information. And I guess now we get excited to see what Baseball America says about our beloved Red Sox. So that will do it for Wednesday's episode of Locked On Red Sox. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox, whether it's here on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Let us know what we can do more of. Leave us a review. Let us know what we can do better, what we can do less of. I love hearing from you, so please be sure to get in touch with us. Follow me on Twitter at LaLaLaLauren. You can see it right down there. It's three laws, Lauren with four R's, and the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at @LO_Red Sox. You can find all of my work right on Nesson.com. You can also hear me co-hosting the Nesson Bruins pod once a week on Nesson.com as well. Be sure to check out all of our other amazing Locked On shows. Locked On A's, Jason and I just did a great crossover. Locked On Blue Jays, I joined Jen and Lucas last week for another amazing crossover episode. Check out Locked On Yankees, Locked On Dodgers, Locked On Reds. They all do incredible work. Go check them out. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen of today, go check out Locked On Bets for your second listen. It's your daily one-stop shop for all your gambling needs. Locked On Bets is hosted by your boy Q with expert analysis and insight from Lee Sterling. Have a great Wednesday. We will see you Thursday.